Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
And tonight, it's going to be a segue from last Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night was just a simple faith message, and it was about how the seed dictates what the fruit is, not the soil. So so what you put into your life dictates what kind of fruit is produced in your life, not the kind of life you've had, not the experiences that you've had, the education that you've had, or the difficulty you might be going through. See, tonight, let me tell you, you might be going through some difficulties and a hard time. But let me tell you, the seed that's going to get sown into your heart tonight is going to prevail over all of that. Because our God is greater. Our God is more incredible. The God who's on the inside of you, and that's the soil of your heart, is greater than anything in the world. And see, we have to remember that. No matter how old or young you are, no matter how rich or poor you are, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what your documentation is, I'm telling you, God's word, God's promise prevails. God's promise works. The enemy of your soul is defeated. See, that's what you have to understand. But see, the only weapon that he has is the deceit that he tries to use, that we're defeated. Because the way things look or how things feel, man, defeat's right in front of us. I feel defeat all the time in my life. You take hits of defeat, and it just keeps coming, and you're like, okay, when is this going to stop? And I'm just here to tell you, we're in this world. It's not going to stop, but we're not of it. So it's not going to have that effect on you. And what I need you to write down tonight is you don't have to identify with what's happened to you. That isn't who you are. That isn't what you're about. It's what you do with what happens to you. What's interesting is God uses people like me and you to deliver his message. And we're fallible. Because this message is infallible. This message is perfect if we just deliver it accurately. But you know what? He uses imperfect people. People I guess I sin once in a while, but I'm not a sinner. It's like you might visit a prison, but you're not a prisoner. You're just a visitor. You could get out of that. And that's what that sin nature's broken in our life. And if you're in sin right now, you could get out of sin. But see, what the enemy wants to do is deceive you into thinking that what we're doing for the next 25 minutes is not really going to matter. And let me tell you, it's all that matters. It's not what happens to you that defines you. It's what you do with what happens to you. So, God, I don't believe this message would be nearly as powerful from a perfect vessel. I mean, you think about Jesus. They're like, why don't you just deliver, just tell us the truth? Why do you tell us parables? My opinion, okay, and it's good for something, but I'm prefacing this with, this is my opinion. My opinion is this message is to be delivered by fallible people, and Jesus was infallible. Jesus was a perfect man, so everything he did was to bridge us for this message to come forth. What Jesus delivered, sure, it was the gospel. But the bottom line is, and let me tell you, they didn't get it in small doses. How long do you think it took Jesus to deliver the Sermon on the Mount? The greatest speech, the greatest talk, the greatest sermon that was ever delivered took a long, long time, and it was a massive group of people. And he just broke it down. And I'm telling you, he didn't have any notes. He didn't have parchment. He wasn't quoting from the prophet Isaiah. He just delivered the goods, man. And see, and then the resurrection happened. And that's what changed everything. And see, and I believe the way God does anything is the way God does everything. So now God's using fallible people, people that have history, people that have deficiencies, people that have needs in their life. And we're here delivering the message that God will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can't deliver the message accurately if I have fear or anxiety or depression or anything like that in my life. I'm not going to be able to deliver it. I've got to see what I've got to offer God. And that's why the Bible says, create in me a right heart, O God. That means not an anxious heart, not a fearful heart, not a revenge-filled heart, not an unforgiving heart. But this heart where it's like, okay, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting you. Create in me a right heart, oh God. Because why? What is required now to deliver this message? It's real easy. The clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. See, and the bottom line, and what's funny is that I get a revelation from God, just worshiping God one time, where it's like, this guy said, man, lift your hands. And I'm like, I don't want to lift my hands. Anybody else feel that way when somebody says, okay, but lift your hands? You're like, look, I've worked all day. It's good that I'm just here, okay? You're making me stand, and it's pulverizing, but okay, I'll do it. And you know what? There was one time where the worship leader got up and said, hey, everybody lift your hands. Let's worship God. And I'm thinking, I don't want to. And I lifted my hands and God spoke to me and said, that your hands just became pure. Because the Bible says lifting holy hands. That when we lift our hands become holy. And I got this revelation. So now it's like, man, I want my hands up. Man, I want to offer my hands because why? Because me just lifting my hands, going through that routine of lifting my hands causes my hands to become holy. So we're going to get in the Word tonight. We're going to segue, listen, from last Wednesday night. Last Sunday, the message was on justification. Anybody remember that the working definition of justification? Not guilty. That's incredible news that I don't believe 90% of the body of Christ really understands the definition of justification. Because if justification in like the English definition of justification is that, okay, what I'm doing is right, and I can justify that by my actions. That's justification. Well, this is what you're doing doesn't matter. That you're just not guilty because of the price Jesus paid. So now we're at the message tonight. Turn your Bibles to James, the first chapter. James 1. I'm really glad you guys are here. Thank you for coming. There's really no better place to be. There really isn't. It's the most incredible people, the greatest team on the planet right here. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror and then turning and walking away and immediately forgetting what manner of man or what kind of man that he is. And I think that what happens is you get in here and you get your faith inflated, it feels like, but it's really inflating your flesh, okay? The Bible says faith comes, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, okay? For that man observes himself in a mirror and turns and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. So you know what, man, you come in here and you're thinking, okay, this is building my faith because I'm hearing the word. And then you turn from the word. If you don't determine to be a doer of that word, you turn and a symptom will hit you. And it'll be like, oh my gosh, I need to call somebody to pray for me. I need to find somebody. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Man, I'm teetering about to fall off the cliff, whether it's fear or anxiety or maybe a symptom of sickness or disease that hits you, and you look at it, and that the bottom line of this is that you have to determine now that the word you're going to hear tonight, you're going to be not just a hearer, but a doer. See, because I think everybody here can listen, but not everybody here can hear. You have to have ears to hear. You've got to decide. You have to make a decision to hear this. Okay, but not just hear it, you want to make a decision to do it. Verse 25, but if he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, everybody say continues in it. See, this is all about repetition. This is all, I believe, just like your muscles have memory, your faith has memory. See, we've all been given the measure of muscles. We all have the same amount of muscles. Nobody here has extra muscles than anybody else. It's how you've developed those muscles. Well, the same thing's true for your faith. You can have weak faith just like you have weak muscles. See, but what happens? What do your muscles understand? Your muscles don't understand weight. Your muscles understand intensity. Man, some of you guys that work out, you can superset with a light, with a light weight. But man, you do it, and you bring some intensity in it. Man, it puts the burn and that lactic acid, and your muscles have the same kind of deal as if you put on a massive amount of weight. Because your muscles understand intensity, your faith does too. See, your faith doesn't understand need. Your faith doesn't understand trial. It doesn't understand winning and losing. Your faith understands intensity. See, so that's how you have to look at it. So if you're in a position, you're in a predicament, there's times, I'll tell you what, there's times we fail because we're thinking, are you believing God for this? You'll be thinking, well, I guess I am, but you're really not, because it's not that big a trial. Man, we believe God for everything. My life is His. Remember, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you look at it, you think, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, the reason that makes sense is the bigger foxes are able to jump up or reach the fruit. The little foxes can't reach the fruit, so what do they have to do? They have to go over to the vine and gnaw on the vine so that the vine falls to the ground, and then they can get to the fruit. So what do the little foxes do? They spoil the vine. All right? So everything in our life, we're trusting God. But He looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. See, the idea of this is, it doesn't matter what you do. Whatever it is that you're doing, no matter where the market is, no matter what the national indicators are, no matter you be somewhere and your supervisor is messing up and in error, it doesn't, none of that matters, because you're blessed in whatever you do. Now let me go to blessed, okay? It's not a feel good. Blessed isn't a feel good. Blessed is a supernatural lifting of your life. A curse is a suppression on your life. But a blessing, so you know what? Man, there might be no one else at your job, no one else in your company that's prevailing, but you have to. Why? Because you're a hearer and a doer of the word. So now what does the Bible promise? You're blessed in whatever you do. So you know what? People might look at it. Let me tell you, you're going to attract haters. You really are. People are getting, let me tell you, the most toxic thing, especially in families and people you work with, is jealousy. And see, that's why the Bible warns us about comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's foolish. Why? It produces jealousy. See, I don't have to keep up with anything. I am not in this life to please people. And that's hard, because we want to attract people and we want to keep people. But all too often, man, we're spending energy trying to keep people and don't have energy to reach people. But what God wants us doing is all reaching people. Man, I've make up my mind. I've had to determine pastoring this church, and it's been over 20 years ago that I made a decision, because something happened that offended the fire out of me. I was offended. And I'm not one of those guys that I'm going to suffer silently. I want to go and kick the guy's door in and drag him off the couch and do some work. That was back then. See, I'm gentle and kind now. The fruit of the Spirit is like flowing from my life these days. But back then, I was so offended. And you know what? And I realized all it was doing was hurting me. He didn't care a bit. He got his way. He probably did what he did to upset me. And I was very upset. So you know what? I made a determination in my life over 20 years ago that I chose to be unoffendable. And I don't know that I've been offended since. See, it's how we choose. It's the discipline that we take in our life where we draw the line and say, I'm not crossing that line. See, I set that boundary in my life that I'm going to be unoffendable. And you know what? Man, it's helped me probably every day of my life. And see, we have to understand that God's going to bless us, or He's going to lift our lives. How many of you guys need God to lift your business? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys need God to lift your household? Can I see your hands? Your finances, can I see your hands? Whatever you do, God's going to lift you. All you have to do, it's all conditional though. You got them all? Okay, but all you got to do, they don't have enough hands, but all you have to do is, it's all conditional. See, God's love's unconditional, but that's it. Everything else is super conditional. And the condition is you've got to be a hearer and a doer. A hearer and a doer. In Matthew 21, 21, Jesus said, and he was answering them, and he said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and don't doubt, and not only will this be done, this is when he walked by the fig tree, and he cursed the fig tree. And the fig tree withered. They were all like, oh my gosh, last time we walked by this, he cursed it. What did he do? He put a suppression on it. And let me tell you a little inside information about a fig tree. It's one of the only plants, if not the only plant, that produces fruit before it produces leaves. See, apples, oranges, lemons, all kinds of other fruit trees produce the leaf and then produce the fruit. Well, a fig tree produces the fruit and then produces the leaves. Jesus is walking by and he sees these fig trees, and in the middle of those fig trees, he sees one of them without fruit, but it has leaves. So have a fig tree having leaves, if it has any worth, if it has leaves, well, you're going to assume it has fruit, and it had no fruit. So Jesus walked by and cursed that fig tree. What did he do? He spoke suppression on that. What happened? They walked by again. The next time they walked by it, it was withered. And they were astounded. He said, don't freak out. Because I say to you, if you have faith and don't doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree. I don't have any notes up here. You will not only do what's done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it'll be done. Now listen, what he was doing, he took this from a tree realm to a mountain realm. Okay. Just right there, the transition in your life, it should go from, I can suppress a fig tree, that's great, okay? People might even buy tickets, you could have a Vegas act. But you know what? A mountain moving kind of faith. And all he said was, if you have faith and don't doubt, faith and don't doubt. See the condition on this? You gotta be a hearer and a doer. I don't believe you can overcome doubt without being a doer of God's word. You have to be a doer of God's word to be able to overcome doubt. If there's people that'll say, man, I'm really trying to believe. I just got so much doubt. It's like, yeah, you're putting your trust in how you feel or what you see. See, I have to avert my eyes. I have to avert my flesh. I can't let my flesh go. Because let me tell you, man, with the internet and all the information that we have, man, you get a lump or you get a bruise that you're like, I didn't think I hit my arm. I'd better Google what that bruise could be. And then you know what? The next thing you know, it's like, dear God, it's a mile long. It's like watching one of those commercials. One of those commercials that says, and the side effects of this are depression and rash and night tremors and itchy. You know what? And I'm like, I'll do anything. I'm not taking, I'll take whatever symptom, I'll take whatever disease. I don't want to itchy, you know what? But you look at this, then you look at it and all that stuff, all that's there, what that information is going to give you that's not godly, that's not in the word, that isn't in scripture, it's going to produce doubt and fear, anxiety and depression. See, that's what depression is. It's an overload of negative in your soul. That's all it is. Man, the only way to counter that is you've got to get the word in you. You got to get around people that are living the word. See, that was important to me. I don't know that I could have done the word on my own. Pastor Jeff Perry, who came in and spoke a couple weeks ago, he spoke because of the impact he had on my life 39 years ago. Why? He was a doer of the word. And you know what? So all I did, he gave me an example of somebody that does the word. Well, it's not by chance that we're a part of a thriving church here in Tulsa, because the man who mentored me the first few months of my Christian walk, it pastors a thriving church in St. Louis. See, and we look at this and we go back to Matthew 21 and verse 22, and whatever things, and that just means all things, you ask in prayer, believing you'll receive. Why? Because you're a doer of the word and not a hearer only. See, I think it's another step. See, and what this life is just guided next steps. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Man, that you're a doer of the word, that you're asking and you're receiving, you're believing and you're speaking. Man, what's coming out of your mouth about your marriage? What's coming out of your mouth about your children? The Bible says you eat good, the fruit that comes out of your, that means it actually, in the original Hebrew, it says you overeat by the words that come out of your mouth. And Jesus just said, man, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever. And why? Because verse 8, he said, because it glorifies my dad. My father gets glorified because you're living in power. Remember Acts 1:8 that he said, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power, dynamic in nature, and you'll be my witnesses. What does a witness do? He speaks the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. See, if you aren't aware of God's will in an area of your life that you have need in, you can't pray this kind of prayer, the prayer of faith that Jesus is referring to here. You gotta have the word in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, God's given us the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. It's not subjective. God didn't give me more faith than he gave Chris. We all have an equal amount of faith. And you know what that faith is? That faith is that book that we call the Bible. He's like, here's the word of faith for you. This is your measure of faith. Consume it. It's not an owner's manual. It's not a roadmap. It's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. Is what you're facing today bigger than your understanding of God's will? That's going to determine your defeat or victory. Whatever you're facing, is your understanding in that bigger than what God's will is? I talk to people all the time. I talked to a guy yesterday. I said, man, how you doing? He goes, well, I'm holding on. I'm not holding on. I'm not at the end of my rope and I've tied a knot in it. I'm not. My cup runs over. I know I win. Why? I'm a doer of the word. Why? Because I've heard the word. Why? I've subjected myself to God's word over and over and over and over and over and over. And very little of this satisfies our flesh. The reason people come into church and pay attention is because they have need in their life. And quite possibly what's being said is going to meet that need. It's going to trump that need. It's going to defeat that need in their life. And you know what? They're going to leave here with a need met. Well, the Bible says all our needs are met according to his riches and glory, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not an ethereal thing. That's just his promise. I mean, another way of saying that is all my needs met according to his promise that's active in my life. Because what does the Bible say? To he who he foreknows, these he also justifies. Who he justifies, these he also. And it gets a point, but the end of it, it says, and to all these, he glorifies them. What's that glory? It's God's promise operative in our lives. Man, it's not fame. It's not fortune. It's not a trophy case. It's not a bigger house. It's not a newer, shinier car. It's none of that. It's that there's glory hidden in your heart. If the word is in you, and that part of you, that word that's in you is power in you. See, because everything, here's how everything works. Spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth. Not symptoms, not circumstances, not any other contrary evidence. Remember, we're justified even though all the facts call us guilty. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, where we're hidden in Christ, we're not guilty. Well, the same thing, the same victory we have being not guilty, even though we know we're guilty. See, that's the hardest thing with people. Man, you see so many Christians say, well, I'm just a sinner. Don't expect much of me. I'm like, why would you confess that? You eat good, the fruit that comes out of your mouth. You're not a sinner. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're an inheritor. You're a joint heir with Jesus. Oh my gosh. I don't know if I'm going to get through the month. Are you kidding me? If God's not worried about getting through the month, you have no right to be worried about getting through the month. Why? Because you've submitted your life to Him. You know what submission is? You relinquish all rights. You don't have the right to be miserable. You don't have the right to be depressed. You don't have the right to be a sinner anymore. Why? You're saved by grace. What's grace? His power, His supernatural ability. How do you get it? It's a gift. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. Another way to put it is it's unmerited favor, unmerited grace. You can't get a marriage badge of grace. You get grace like this. Let me just tell you, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. God, even though I'm living in this cesspool, I thank you that greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. God, as a matter of fact, now that you've cleaned this house, why don't you fill it with every great thing that you're about? See, that's what needs to happen. See, to fill your life with God's promise. And what is it? It's spirit and truth. A lack of faith is due to a lack of understanding of God's will, God's word. That's all it is. Man, that measure of faith is right there. And what Luke 6, remember Luke 6, 36, 37, 38, where it says, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That next phrase says, and the measure that you use will be measured back to you. So the amount of word that you speak, the amount of word that you believe, the amount of word that you actually live, that's going to be measured back to you in God's promise. Does that make sense to you? So whatever that area of your life is, man, if you're lonely, God, I just thank you that you know my heart. God created me a right heart. That means it's not a lonely heart. We can't believe more than we have knowledge and understanding of in God's word. You know, it's not like natural things. You can't get in your truck and turn the key and drive down the road and not know how it works. You're just going to trust it. Let me tell you, you trust it until you get into a dangerous situation with it. I remember my dad when he was teaching me how to drive, and it was a old station wagon, and it was a 4-speed on the floor, and I'm backing up and I'm going forward in the driveway and backing up and going forward and backing up and going forward. He goes, you ready to drive? And I said, yeah. He said, okay, do you trust this vehicle? I said, well, I don't know. He said, you're not ready to drive then. I'm not putting you on traffic unless you trust the vehicle. Man, you don't want to put your kids in a car, your wife in a car, and not trust the vehicle? Well, that's the same thing with this book of the law, that we don't let depart from our mouth. We have to trust it. How do you trust it? You get to know it. You familiarize yourself with it day and night. And the apostles came to Jesus in Luke 17:5, and they said, man, Jesus, increase our faith. He said, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Our faith, as we believe it and we speak it, is ever increasing. But when they asked Jesus to increase their faith, he's like, are you kidding me? You're not getting this. Jesus responded by saying, if you have the faith, he picked up a mustard seed. It was a speck. It was like as big as a gnat. It's like a sesame seed. He picked up this mustard seed. If you have this kind of faith, you could say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't receive any doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. They're like, oh, we just want you to increase our faith. But Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listening to every conflicting opinion is causing you not to hear. If coming in here and hearing God's word is like listening to a commentator or listening to a TED talk about personality disorders or whatever, it's not going to work for you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the truth. Remember, Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It encompasses everything. For what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it's not spooky. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's not ethereal. It's all mental and becomes emotional. Man, you walk according to the flesh, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or naturally minded, or earthly minded, or higher educationally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at war with God. For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And the bottom line is this, is the Spirit of God in you? That's a question. Because verse 9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give, listen, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you, that he's going to give life to your mortality. He's going to give supernatural life to your mortality. But if the Spirit of, see, it all boils down to this. Is the Spirit of God in you? If the Spirit of God's in you, he's given life to your natural situation, your mortal body. Man, it's how we overcome. You have natural tendencies. You overcome it by the word operative in your life. We're hearers and doers. We have to hear it and do it. And you know what? If you're going, I don't know what to do, read it again. Read it out loud. Hear yourself saying it. Man, memorize it. Write it down in your journal. Man, just get that word so far in you that, you know what? Man, the last time I was offended is the last time I'm going to be offended. It was over 20 years ago. How about you stood up and said, you know what? I'm the healed of the Lord. The last time I was sick is the last time I'm going to be sick. You start getting a symptom and you reject it. Because the bottom line is the report you're going to believe. Whose report are you going to believe? I believe in the report of the Lord. Cool? I'm done. That's it. I have much more, but we're out of time. So, if you're here and you need prayer for anything going on in your life, or you need to get your life right with God, or you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you've just kind of been sideways with God, with the church, with people, with whatever, and you need to get your life straight with God, I want to pray for you and pray with you. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you are. Just identify yourself, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, I'm rooting for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Glad you came. Anybody else? It's awkward. I'm the king of awkward. Most times you're with me. The good chance is going to be awkward. So why spoil it here? Let's just make it awkward. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. God bless you guys. My awkward new friends. Is there anybody else? You sure? What is this? Hey, you don't have to be so violent about it. I'll get to you. God bless you. God bless you. Did I say God bless you to you? I did not. You're about to get it. God bless you. Anybody else? I was thinking about you guys either last night or today or something. I was thinking about this moment, and I tweeted, God bless you. I just like saying it, and so I tweeted it. Was it last night or yesterday or something? And people come up and go, yeah, that's weird. I'm like, I know. I just wanted to. And it's my account. That's what's cool about it. So you know what I'm going to tweet tonight? Take a hike. Anybody else need to get your lives right with God? What took you so long? Troublemakers? It was a rhetorical question. Is there anybody else that you want to explain to me? I don't care. Dear God, we got business to do here. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. And I will be a smart aleck with you too, just so you know. But I won't be rude. I'll get right up to it. Maybe you, I will be. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. You get your life right with God. I need, if there's one more, I just don't want to miss out on it. Please just raise your hand. God bless you. Would you guys that raised your hand, would you come out of your seat and just come and stand right here? I want to pray for you. Because that's what I said I'd do. I'd pray for you and with you. You guys that raised your hand. How are you doing? Good to see you. This is a boy church, by the way, just so you guys know. I know. I don't know what's happened. It's that one on the front row right there. She just celebrates girls and women and stuff, and they end up coming. How are you doing? You guys good? Good to see you. Was that one guy? Did he come down, the guy that was waving at me? Kind of, oh, that was him. You threw him under the bus. That's awesome. She's up here. I said, where's that one guy? She goes. Is there anybody else who needs to just wants me to pray for him? Just come on down. I'm going to open it up. Just if you're going through it, just say, man, I'm going through it. Come on down. I know how to pray for people going through it. You know, I know we're running late, sir, but I've got a word of the Lord for you that you haven't been dealt a bad hand. You haven't. I know that's the deception that tries to occupy your life. You haven't been dealt a bad hand. You've been dealt a great hand. And today is a turnaround time for you, a great turnaround time for you. Yeah, and that's the right response. He just said, I received that. If you're here and you felt like you've been dealt a bad hand, come down here. I want to pray for you. We take care of this tonight. I'm not kidding you. Devil's messed with the wrong people. He really has. He's messed with people we've got access to. Like that's the reason people are standing up here tonight is because the devil's just messed with you. And I just so happen to hate him. And I know how to take care of him. I'm not sweating him. So if that fella down there has been dealt a good hand, God's no respecter of persons, you have too. Right? What's your name? Avery? That's a beautiful name. What's your middle name? Avery Lane? How old are you? Oh, she's going to marry the right person and fulfill God's call in her life. The purpose of God's going to be fulfilled in her life. She's going to have the right friends. She's going to fulfill God's purpose. She's going to marry the right person. She's going to be a good picker in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you for every one of these people up here. God, whatever it is they need, God, you're the need supplier. God, whatever way needs to be made in their life, God, you make a way where there is no way. And God, I thank you right now for newness of life, brand new life, that God, tonight is a life-for-life exchange. They're exchanging the life they had for the life you have. God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you that they're forgiven, that they're set free. God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus, God, that new life comes in them, more than enough, abundant new life comes in them. God, the condemnation that's been in their life, God, is removed now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that. God, guilt and shame has to go in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the work you're doing in them, that you'll do that work all their lives, and that at the end of their life, that work will be completed under the day of Christ Jesus. And God, I thank you for that. Now, God, I thank you that you wash their hearts, their souls. God, I thank you that you put a new spirit in them and you wash them clean as the driven snow. God, I thank you that you purify them right here and right now at this altar. And God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you that the enemy's deception is going to be clear as a bell to them. God, because you make their crooked places straight. You're a light unto their path and a lamp unto their feet. And God, I thank you right now for brand new life. God, a new cause. God, a new purpose. God, I thank you for new dominion. God, I thank you tonight in the name of Jesus for them to be swallowed up in victory. God, I thank you that your victory consumes them. And God, everything they put their hand to is victorious. God, I thank you that every decision they make is a decision of victory. God, I thank you that defeat is in their past and they're not looking back. God, I thank you that they forget those things which are behind and they press and they strain forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That mark, God, we're going to hit that mark tonight. And God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you right now that you heal their bodies. God, I thank you for healing to flow through them. And God, especially what the enemy's meant for bad, God, you turn it to good in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for perfect health in every one of these people up here. God, that we are bold. God, we take advantage of the advantage that you've given us, God. Because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Now, God, I thank you for Jesus. Just standing here right now, let's all make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Just out loud, just close your eyes and lift your hands. You're lifting holy hands, remember? Now say this with me. Father God, I give you my life. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God, with everything. Even the difficult things, God, I'm trusting you. My future is incredibly bright because my present is set. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell because I'm forgiven. Devil, I don't sweat you another minute. You're defeated and you're a deceiver, and I'm not buying or believing your lies anymore. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I have not been dealt a bad hand. I've got a great hand, and I'm going to play this hand the rest of my life. God, I thank you that I'm going to walk tall. God, I'm going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've called me. The call that's on my life, God, is forever. You'll never take it away. God, I thank you for that, and I praise you for that, for your purpose in every life here. In the name of Jesus. Now put a big smile on your face. Because all of heaven's rejoicing. Come on, bigger than that. I need a big, there. Come on, bigger than that. Come on. Come on, bigger smile than that, man. Come on. What's your name, sir? Luis? That's a cool name. Luis what? Hernandez. What's your middle name? You got ripped off. I'll just call you Luis then. My new friend, Luis, you need anything? You hear? Now look at me. You call, okay? Because we're here for you. I'm not playing. I need you to win. You know what I'm saying? And I need you to win big. Man, there's ministry in you. And you'll think, well, I blew it. I screwed up. The gifts and call of God are without repentance. God can't take them from you. Because he put them in you forever. So we're just living now to fulfill his call, fulfill his purpose. Live for him. I want you guys, if you would, to follow the new leader here with a pat hand. West, head west. Okay? And I got some people that are going to run to meet you when you get to that corner over the car. So turn and go, sir. Yeah, there you go. Pick it up a little bit. A little bit. Come on, I need a hop in your step.
Thank you all for being here tonight. Again, if this was your first time or you're newer to the church, we would love to meet you. We have a guest center that some of our staff and volunteers are at. We'd just like to meet you on the way out. Stop by there. And then also, if you didn't come up, but there is something that you were really wanting someone to agree with you about or just be in prayer, we would love to be able to pray with you. We have a ministry team that'll be up here and would be happy to do that after service. So thank you all for being here. We will see you Friday night at the Nightmare. And as you go, preach.